are listening to The Caregivers with Lon Kiefer.
Hey there, how you doing? Yeah, you. I'm talking to you. You might be a caregiver. Hey, I don't know. You might not even know. Welcome home to the Caregivers Podcast, where you are never alone. My name is Lon Kiefer, and I am a caregiver. And I'm also your host, sometimes known as Doc, the Defender of Caregivers. And for those of you that don't know what we're doing here, we're talking to the caregivers of the world, whether they be professional or personal family caregivers, in an effort to make certain no one is ever alone on their caregiver's journey, even if your companion is just a voice in a podcast. Now, I've told you before how excited I am to be doing this podcast and how meaningful it is to me, and I hope it's meaningful to you as well. But this episode is a perfect example of just the kind of thing that I'm trying to bring to the caregivers of the world. Other guests of the podcast are starting to recommend people that they know, and people on Facebook and other places are starting to instant message. Oh, I'm sorry. I think it's a direct message. Excuse me. I'm showing my traditionalist. Actually, I guess I'm a baby boomer, but I'm showing my age there by getting the wrong word. But the bottom line is people that have been on the podcast are recommending others, and people that have heard about the podcast or contacting us. And that makes me far more happy than you can imagine. And this episode is, as I said, someone recommended by another person that was on the podcast. And she was described as a warm-hearted, caring, and giving person that has a similar sense of humor to little old me, Doc, the Defender of Caregivers. And here's the thing that excites me the most. It's interesting because I've had some, we've had professional comedians, actresses. We've had some, you know, famous semi-household names onto this podcast, but the ones that are the most popular are when I talk to the personal family caregivers, the people that have gone through their own caregiver's journey, and they speak from the heart. And this lady that I'm getting ready to bring onto the podcast is just about as wholesome as you can find. She has not written a book. She is not a nationally known speaker. She is just one genuine and genuinely funny and very compassionate caregiver. And her name is Val Howell. Okay, Val, I can't thank you enough for doing this. And we're live, by the way. I know you're nervous, but please don't be.
Oh, I did not know we were going to be live.
Well, we just went live right now. We can stop that if you want.
No, it's okay.
Nothing that you fear gets better by waiting.
That's true.
And I want to thank Eddie for being here. You're our first witness of a podcast.
Thank you. Pleasure.
And you might hear Chance growling in the background. That's his typical way of saying he's happy. So are you doing okay?
Yes.
You settling in?
I am.
Okay. So please relax, and let's just the things we've talked about in the last 5 minutes would make perfect podcast material. So
okay.
don't worry about it at all. We met just this morning,
mm-hmm.
but we met through Mary.
Mary Beth is what I call her.
Mary
yes,
Mary Beth. So what is your relationship with Mary Beth?
Our kids grew up in the same neighborhood.
Okay,
and her and I met. They were in school together, and our two daughters became best friends.
Okay. And what did she tell you about the podcast and why she thought you would be a good guest?
Actually, she said that now brain's gone.
That's okay. It happens to me all the time. The more
our comedy style or our way of talking is very similar. She said, you two are so much alike that you can make something, anything laugh. You can laugh about anything that you would get along great.
It's that caregiver thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thank you for being here in the shed quarters on the Defender of Caregivers
really nice.
Compound. Yeah, this is my mom bought this shed. I think it was a Amish side of the road type of thing. She fell in love with it. You know how you see those sheds,
mm-hmm.
and she had it delivered, and then she had it way overbuilt and customized. Yeah, Mom, I'm still telling you, I think you went too far with it. And then when she decided to move onto a retirement campus, we said, what are we going to do? So, because this thing, you know, you can't just leave this behind. So I had it moved here at probably more cost than it took to buy it initially, because she had that porch built on it. So I had to take it apart and put it. Anyway, it's been a labor of love. And I'm really proud that it's like a family legacy here on the property. And I'm just giving you some time to settle in.
Okay, but, you're doing good. I didn't even notice you were doing that.
But I know you're a caregiver personality, because after Mary, you call her Mary Beth, right? Mm-hmm. After Mary Beth put us together, we emailed back and forth. I think I counted 32 emails.
Oh, really? That many? I'm a talker.
And then you said that, yeah, I kept saying you said you didn't have any stories worthwhile, and then you just, you know.
No, I'm pretty basic.
But they kept coming, and they're wonderful, and I want to talk about them, but you asked to do it in person, which I much prefer, but it's not easy. So thank you for
Trying to do it at my house with the dog and my granddaughter running around.
Yeah.
It would not have gone well.
Yep. So I have a saying, as a matter of fact, it might be on there right behind me, honor yourself as you care for others. So is there anything that you would like to share? Please honor yourself before we share with others. Is there anything that's important to you, maybe Facebook or wherever? I mean, we had joked earlier that you're not an author, you're not a nationally known speaker. The only thing you have to promote is a good heart and a message.
When I started taking care of Alzheimer's clients, which is my dearest love. Mm-hmm. That's where I started. The one thing I started learning was to stay in their reality. Mm-hmm. It's like if you stay within their reality instead of your own, it is much easier to get through to them and they trust you.
Sure.
And then I started learning, you know what? It's not just Alzheimer's people that have their own reality. We actually each do.
Oh, wow.
And I start looking at, there's five of us in my family. If you were to sit all five of us down and talk to us about what our family life was about, you would get five different responses. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got their own reality of how they see things based on their past experiences. So really everybody, you stay in everybody's own reality.
Yeah. My sisters and I joke that we didn't really actually grow up in the same household.
Mm-hmm. It is. And you look at it, it's like, how did you see that? Wait a minute, I saw this.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's amazing how differently we all think.
Yeah, it really is. And that is one of the things that they try and teach. But there's no teaching like living, doing, mm-hmm. you know, experiencing. But I remember the day as a nurse that we were taught to reorient. You know, every mm-hmm. morning you'd go in and you'd shatter realities and tell them, no, it's, you know, you're not this age or I'm, you know, and you reorient people. And then we learned later, oh, that's great background noise, Chance. What is that he's got?
He brought one of his toys out with him.
But which one is that? I don't even know which one it is. Yeah. I have people just mail me toys for him.
Really?
I mean, I have zero fan base. I don't even like that term, but he does.
That's funny.
Yeah. Well, you know, so later we were taught, you know, enter their world. Don't ask mm-hmm. them to enter yours. Did you by any chance go through the virtual reality experience that Mary Beth offers?
No, I've read about that.
Yeah.
And I would love to do that.
Yeah, I very much recommend that you do it. I've done it a couple of times, and it's, you know, it's amazing. Pam Brandon, the founder of Educate, was just on the podcast. I think actually it hasn't aired yet. So we got to talk about what she's doing with her program and how impactful it is. But I think that it's called Dementia Live, mm-hmm. and I think you would probably really enjoy it.
Oh, I would. And just when you step into their shoes, I had a
Chance,
client.
Buddy, come on, work with us. Calm down. I'm going to have to banish him in a minute. Go ahead.
I had a client that had Alzheimer's.
Uh-huh.
And the daughter, I started out with her in early Alzheimer's. And she went to live with the daughter, and the daughter wanted me to come there also. And then she went to a nursing home, and I also went there. And the daughter called me one day in a state of panic. Mm-hmm. Now you've got to come to the nursing home immediately. Mom is going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, okay, well, what's going on? So, well, she believes that one of the men in the nursing home raped her.
Oh, gosh.
Which we know did not happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, give me background. What happened in her background? And it was something that actually had happened when she was a child.
Okay.
And I said, so what did you do? Well, we told her that, of course, didn't happen. And I went, and what do I teach? Yeah. Stay in their reality.
Yeah.
So the nurse and the aides and the daughter were all in a state of panic. And I walked in and she's like, she looks at me and says, I guess you're going to yell at me too. And I said, well, tell me what's going on.
So this was
this was my client.
Okay.
And she told me, this man attacked me and he did this. And I went, okay, so I'm going to close the door because the police are on the way and they're going to take care of all of this. And she went, oh, okay, so you believe me. Well, of course I believe you. So why don't you lay down for a little bit and take a nap while we wait for them. I'm going to stay here to make sure you're safe. So she laid down. I went back out and they went, how did you do that? I stayed in her shoes.
Yeah.
This was her reality. She really does believe this to be true.
Right, right.
So, and she woke up calm and the whole thing was completely over.
So she didn't recall having thought she recalled it. Yeah. You did great. The industry side of things has to treat those things as though they are real. They are real for the individual, so they have to, you know, look into them, investigate them, and to hear your side of that, having seen the professional side of it, is I kind of want to just pause and think about it almost.
Yeah, it's amazing when when you look at what they go through.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
How little, and when I was working in the nursing home or when I was working with this client at another nursing home, and I'd hear somebody say, where's my mom? My mom's supposed to be here. Oh, well, your mom died years ago. And it's like,
oh, yeah.
Why would you do that? To her, she is now hearing this for the very first time.
Yeah.
So when I would have people ask me, where is she? Isn't today the day she goes to bingo? Oh, yeah, she does love bingo. Well, yeah, she said she's going to be here after. Yeah. And they're happy and content, and it's just such a simple thing. But it just means so much to them to be able to stay in that world.
Yeah. So how did you come by this? And caregiver is a broad term. And then on the professional side of things, you've got other terms. You've got CNA, GNA, LPN, RN, you know. Are you a caregiver CNA or a caregiver private sitter type of?
Private.
Yeah.
I used to be GNA. I started out actually with my husband's aunt. It's a long, I hate to say West Virginia, kind of story. But my sister-in-law and my husband are cousins.
Okay.
And his aunt, her mother.
I can't follow that.
DeBello, I know. Neither can our family.
Eddie, we're going to get you a mic so you can explain.
And the family, she's cousin Aunt Holly.
Okay.
So.
All right, we're going down.
We're going downhill. She developed Alzheimer's.
Okay.
And my sister-in-law asked me if I would please come stay with her for a couple of hours, a couple times a week. So I was trying to figure out, okay, so what am I going to do? And I hope it's okay if I mention God.
Of course.
Okay. Because God leads me all the time in this. He always has. He's always been the one in the front that says, okay, this is the path. So I'm worrying about, how am I going to talk to her? What do I do? What are the best things? And I'm going through the grocery store, and this gentleman comes up to me, and he said, I'm looking for something. Can you help me? I said, sure. What are you looking for? He said, it's these round things, and they're kind of like this, and he's holding his hand out, and I'm going, well, what do you use them for? Well, my wife puts soup in them.
Oh, gosh.
And then we put them in the trash. And I went, oh, you're looking for paper bowls. Okay, so as we're walking down to where the paper bowls are, he said, I just found out recently I have Alzheimer's. So I went, oh, my gosh, I can't even imagine. So how are you handling that? And he said, well, we have one son. My son's a firefighter. And every day I go through all my pictures of my wife and my son, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to hold them as long in memory as I possibly can.
Oh, man.
So it was like 15, 20 minutes of me just listening to him describe yeah. Alzheimer's.
Did you go straight to the paper products and get some tissues?
I just listened. It was just like this influx of information. It was like, okay, mm-hmm. I can't even. So now it's. So when I went to go handle Aunt Rose, I kept remembering what he said.
Mm-hmm.
So her and I would actually talk about it. I know you're going through a hard time with this. How are mm-hmm. you feeling? And most of the time we would just laugh. I would take her out to the stores and we would find, I get very elaborate to try to make them laugh and I do all kinds of things. And we just had a good time. But yeah. there were times that she would get sad and we would sit and talk or moments of clarity. Mm-hmm. Alzheimer's have moments of clarity where all of a sudden they know. And we would talk about that. And it was, I know not to get emotional in front of them because mm-hmm. I need them to be able to say how they feel. But, oh my gosh, I would get home lots of times after dealing or talking with a client and just cry to my husband.
Yeah.
Oh, this is what this one's going through.
Yeah. Well, I could see your face changed as you were remembering it.
Yeah,
it was. You started to get emotional. So do you find yourself out in public and people like this seem to come to you? You like mm-hmm. you seem to attract them?
They do.
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
It is. It's funny. Or I'll see things and I'll start to walk towards them and Eddie will have to go back off, Val.
Yeah.
She's wearing the wrong shoes. She should not be wearing those shoes because she is going to fall and break a hip. Yeah. And no, you got to back off. This is not your area. This is one. Okay, but.
So you're that vibe's coming out from you and people are, you know, I believe in this, you know. So,
oh, I do too.
And yeah. I watch it. She has like a light on the top of her.
Yeah. Yeah. Years ago, I was in the Walmart. I was doing a lot of videos. They were called the Caregiver's Vow, the video of the week. Mm-hmm. And I was shooting a video about how some people you just feel that you can trust.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a caregiver personality and other people sense it. And while I'm shooting this video using the using those words, a man interrupts me and asks me what I'm doing. And then he goes, you know, I didn't know if this was like a news story or but you look like a man I can trust. So I thought
really?
I'd ask you.
And
I'm
yeah.
like, I'm like, you know, yeah, but you just, you know, interrupted my video, but you made it better
mm-hmm.
because the point.
You just proved what I was saying.
Yeah. So you and then you just started. But from there, you went into being a certified nursing assistant for
actually,
a while?
From there, like I say, God has led me. From there, she was actually sent to a nursing home.
Uh-huh.
And I went into the nursing home to try to help her get used to things. Mm-hmm. So while I was there, I would help out with, I would go in with her to try to get her to the activities room. And the one who was leading the activity said, you know, Val, we'd really love it. I was a stay-at-home mom at the time.
Right.
We'd really love it if you could come up more often and volunteer for activities. And I went, okay. So I did that. And then it was, you know, you're so good at this.
Mm-hmm.
You ought to try to get a job here, and maybe you could help with feeding them and making the beds. And I loved that.
Mm-hmm.
I was having a great time. And they said, why don't you go for your GNA?
Mm-hmm.
So I went to do that, and I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
The caregivers there, I had a wonderful, wonderful group. Mm-hmm. They were all very dedicated.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
Mm, you're excused.
They were just awesome, and they taught me so much.
Mm-hmm.
What they didn't teach me, the residents did.
Yeah.
And then they wanted me to go into medicine. Be a medicine aide. I absolutely hated it.
It's funny. Some people view it as a progression. Others view it as a departure.
It was a departure, and I did not like it at all.
Yeah.
So I got in trouble a lot because I would help the residents, and I was reprimanded a lot.
Oh, because you'd pull
you
away from
do
your
that.
Task.
And it's like, yeah. She had to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Well, she's going to have to wait. But I was right there.
Yeah.
So Yeah, I didn't do well with that. And then the administrator and I had a difficulty getting along.
Sure.
So I left there.
Yeah.
And I went with the lady who ended up was head of the activities, had started her own caregiving group.
Uh-huh.
So her and I were together for 3 years. And we were starting to see things differently. And it's like, okay, it's time for me to move on.
Yeah.
And I put in my 2 weeks notice. And within, by the end of my 2 weeks notice, I had full-time, people would call me and go, Val, I know you're with this, you're with this company, but I was wondering if.
Sure.
And I had enough people actually called me that all wanted different times, so all of the slots worked out, that I was working 7 days a week for quite a while.
Mm. Watch what you wish for, right?
It was, yeah, it was a little too much.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, there's no, I mean, once you get known in the as being trustworthy and caring and reliable, there's no shortage of people that will, you know, call you to mm-hmm. to help with their loved ones. And so how long ago did your cousin's mother's niece's uncle's aunt?
Oh, my
aunt?
Gosh, that's been, what, it's been over 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has. It's been over 15 years.
Yeah.
I just realized that one client that I still have, I've been with for 10 years now.
Yeah.
And they're family to me. All of the ones that I'm with are family to me.
Right.
I still hear from all of them. And Eddie's gone over to help them with wiring problems, or this is broken, go fix it for him.
Yeah. Eddie, we got to talk after this.
Yeah.
I got some things I need looked at.
No problem.
So he's met most of my clients. Very few have never met him.
Yeah. I crave those kind of relationships. You know, regulation, oversight, it's all so necessary, but mm-hmm. it's all so convoluted, and it makes the relationship so much harder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the private relationships are not all peachy and keen either. There's a need for things like background checks and drug testing
absolutely.
And all that sort of stuff. So, but once someone like your name gets into the mix and people start circulating around, your phone will be ringing, you know, forever. So did you see this in your future 15 years ago? I'm going to ask it now. One of the things that I asked towards the end of the podcast, and I'm not trying to end the podcast, mm-hmm. but it just seems appropriate now, is that 15 years later, knowing what you know now, if you could go back in a hot tub time machine to what would that be, 2005-ish, mm-hmm. what advice would you give to yourself for this journey you're now on?
My biggest advice would be shut your mouth and open your ears.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Because there's lots of times where one of my residents actually taught me that when I first became a GNA, she had a hip replacement. She was a tiny woman.
Mm-hmm.
And while they were teaching me how to do care on her, they said, okay, now Val, when you go in here, she's had a hip replacement, so you got to be quick. Because if you're slow, you're actually going to cause her more pain.
Oh, so kind of like the get her, rip the Band-Aid off kind
yes.
of thing. Yeah.
So it's, okay, so go in and get her cleaned up and get her in a wheelchair and bring her down here for dinner. Okay. So I'm in the middle of trying to do all of that, and I'm focused on all of the instructions and trying to remember everything. And she yells out, stop, 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 stop. And I went, what? What is it? She said, what are you doing? And I went, oh, I'm getting you ready so you can go down to dinner. And she went, okay, I just wanted to know
yeah.
what you were doing. And I went, okay, listen.
Yeah.
So now, then after that, I would go in, hi, how you doing? This
sure.
is what we're going to do. I'm going to be doing this. I'm going to put you in your chair. We're going to go down. And things went much better.
Yeah. So many of the mistakes that, I don't know that they're mistakes, but so many of the misunderstandings that occur are out of trying so hard to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you get so focused on, you know, what you're told, what your task is, how you're supposed to approach, that sometimes you don't even see what's right there before
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
And that happens in my life all the time.
It does mine too.
And it's, you know, there's, I, I've shied away from it because it seems like too much of a lecture in the podcast, but there's all these cognitive distortions that I talk about. I call them caregiver distortions, and you know, one of them is emotional filter, you know, where we have something on our mind and we think everything through that. I'm sorry, mental mm-hmm. filter. And we think everything that way. So we can get fixated on something and not see other things that are right there before us. But the listen aspect is so huge that we can tend to lose that because mm-hmm. we're so focused on a task.
You are, and I see that even now with my clients. I have a husband and wife. The wife has Parkinson's, and the husband, they're 90 and 95.
Mm-hmm.
And the husband didn't believe the diagnosis, and he was saying, I don't want you giving her any of that medication. I don't want you doing all this, and I kept... Him and I would argue,
mm-hmm.
and it was like, I'm not understanding. And finally he said, you know, my first wife died from Parkinson's. And mm-hmm. I went, okay, mm-hmm. now I understand. He doesn't want to believe
yeah.
this, so I need to come across this in a different way.
Yeah.
So finding a way for him to be able to say, okay, now I believe you, she has it, so now let's look on what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
I said, this is no longer about quality of life, this is about... I mean, not quantity of life. This is about quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do the best things we can to make sure she's doing well and mm-hmm. less symptomatic.
You're natural at sort of navigating difficult times for people's
sometimes.
Emotions. Well, I mean, in that world,
not so
I'm
much
sure you're
home.
Horrible at home.
I am. I'm absolutely hideous at home.
Well, you know too much about the subject.
Yes.
Sometimes that's, I mean, you're not a learner there. You're learned. And mm-hmm. sometimes knowledge can hurt us, you know,
because that's true.
It, you know, it gives us, we rush to, you know, we draw conclusions. Which is one of the, you know, distortions, jumping to conclusions. You already know everything in your relationship with Eddie.
Exactly. So. I've got the past.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't need to know. Yeah. Where are you coming from? I knew where you're coming from. This needs to stop now.
One of our clients asked me, or told me, oh, I just wish I could clone her. I went, oh my God.
I should have set up a mic for you, Eddie. Well, what's funny is that I'm even in listening to you, I'm doing it as we speak. You know, I'm trying to make sure that I'm supporting you as the host of this podcast and keeping you, you know, in your lane and moving forward and not being too distracting from what you're saying. But as you said, listen, you know, I'm thinking of the old lesson that we're taught, you have one mouth and two ears. But that isn't even the issue. The issue wasn't that you would be speaking too much, which is my problem.
Mm-hmm.
The issue was that you were actually maybe thinking too much or doing too much.
Mm-hmm.
And so me trying to anticipate your needs in this conversation, I was rushing in the wrong direction, just like you were rushing in the wrong direction
mm-hmm.
by trying to do what you were told to do to go in and care for your loved one. So, I mean, I don't know if that analogy works, but mm-hmm. it seems to make sense to me. I'm trying to decide where to take you next on this. How has this changed you from previous career? What did you do before you stepped into this world?
I was a stay-at-home mom
for
20 years.
Yeah, I know you said that, but I mean, I didn't, you know.
Before that, I worked in a warehouse, a cosmetics warehouse.
Okay.
There was one time... I can't even tell you how many years ago. It's been 30 years ago. There was like this strange thing. I was coming home from my parents, and I had this strange feeling like I needed to go to a nursing home. You should go in there and you should volunteer.
As a little kid?
No, I was a mother at the time. My oldest children were very little.
Okay.
And I'm going,
So did you do it?
I went in there, and I got so intimidated.
Yeah.
That I never went back.
Intimidated by the structure, or intimidated
the
by
structure, the structure, and it's like I have nothing to give these people. And
oh gosh,
the smell in the area was absolutely horrendous in that place, and that
yeah.
overtook me. And the whole, it was too much.
Oh, that's.
But
just
then
a shame.
I got called back again. It was like. Probably 20 years after that.
Yeah.
Is when I was called to do Eddie's Aunt.
Yeah.
And then it was like, okay, now I'm feeling more comfortable in where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's try this. And it's funny because people say, I don't know how you do what you do. And it's like, you know what? I learned so much from them.
Yeah.
I've had residents and people I've taken care of that were in Germany during the time of Hitler.
Mm.
There was a woman who was in Italy during the time of Mussolini.
Oh, my.
And her father was actually called into Mussolini's office. And then there's just been so many people you listen to. The woman I was talking about with Alzheimer's she was French, and she was in France during the German rule. And she would talk to me about all those things. None of her family knew any of it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I would talk about, wow, I can't believe your mom went through this. Really, we didn't even know.
I have seen that residents, patients, whatever term you want to use, because I struggle with that sometimes on what's the right term, where they will share things with their caregivers that they won't share with their families.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's a different kind of intimacy, but it's intimate nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. But it's just so to listen to the things that they've all gone through. So many have gone through so many different things. They've taught me so much.
Yeah.
It's me being there, okay, I'll make your bed. Val want you to sit down and talk with me for an hour, and I'm going, oh no. I'm on time. I don't want you to pay me to just sit here and relax.
Yeah.
No, I just need, and sometimes the wife will say, Val, please sit down and talk to him.
Oh, that's so
powerful.
But
if you don't, he'll talk to me. And I'll pay you twice the amount. One of the clients that I had was an ace pilot.
Oh,
I can't even. Wasn't he an ace?
He was an ace, but yeah.
So I was telling my husband, oh, I'm taking care of this guy, and this is what he did. And he went, well, you're taking care of an ace?
Yeah.
I don't know. He's Bob.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. I've got to meet him.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He did. He came in.
What kind of plane? She comes back with, I don't know, it's like a P-50. Oh, my God, he was a P-51 pilot. Oh, this guy's a rock star.
Yeah.
Well, he's no longer allowed to go to the grocery store because he eats the grapes.
Who doesn't eat the grapes?
It's true. Go to the grocery store. His wife stopped him. He was no longer. Bob got in trouble.
Yeah. Well, you know, Bob or the ace, it sometimes Bob wants you to know he's the ace. Sometimes Ace wants you to know he's Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And have you dragged Eddie into volunteering anywhere? I mean, I know he goes and does repairs, but I mean, I think he might have a little caregiver in him too.
No, some of the stuff he gets a little, it kind of frightens him when they get confused.
It's intimidating.
I'm so afraid I'll make a mistake.
Yeah.
You know.
He's like, what do I say? He's just going with it.
Yeah.
Sometimes the stories can be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Are most of the clients that you're caring for these days struggling with dementia? I know you'd mentioned some.
No, although that's my love is dementia.
Sure.
They're all up in age. I've got a 92-year-old, 90 and a 95-year-old. And then I have a son of the 92-year-old who has cerebral palsy.
Mm-hmm.
He's 64, I think.
Oh, wow.
So each one struggles in their own way, and now I'm actually helping their sister. The sister was the caregiver mm-hmm. for the mother and the mm-hmm. son. They all live in this one house unit, and now the sister and the brother-in-law are going through struggles.
So how do you, if you're in a home with that much need and that many different people that need that need, how do you focus on... Are you just running from one to the other, or are you there focused on one person
sometimes.
And having to say, no, this is not your time right now?
This is, sometimes I have to do that quick. I go at different days to be with different ones in the family, and they've got a house where there's a hallway in between their two homes.
Okay.
So closing the door separates what I'm doing, but sometimes when I'm with the sister, the mother will call and say, Val needs to come over here. We need to get this taken care of. Okay. And I switch gears and we go over there, and then her and I both do it. and then we switch and we go back to what the sister needs.
Oh my, you are a saint.
It's and then I come home and I go, get me my glass of wine.
Yeah.
I am going to need at least two.
Yeah.
Today's been that kind of day. But.
Yeah. Red wine or white wine?
White.
White?
Moscato is really good.
It's too sweet for me.
It is kind of sweet. It is. Yeah. I switch up.
Yeah. There's a, she's over, she's here on the Eastern Shore. The wine, connoisseur. I want to get her on to the wine coach. I'm sorry. I want to get her on the podcast just because I think it would be fun.
There's a wine coach?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm embarrassed that I'm struggling to find her actual name. It's Lori something. Yeah, Lori Forster. And she's an expert on wines and also does stand-up comedy. So she does a very funny, you guys love comedy. We talked about that before. She does, she's called the Wine Coach. And I mean, she's very, very well known. And, she does a very comedic teaching you how to know what you're drinking and how to pair it with something. And, very funny, but, wine is an essential.
It is
and you know it's got some medicinal qualities to it, mm-hmm. as well. But I'm getting out of my field. I'm not.
But it also helps me go from the caregiving world to back to my family. It's like, okay, I sit and I play my games.
Yeah.
On my laptop, and it's like, let me go from this. Don't come at me right now.
It's your.
Because I'll be in caregiver mode, and you're my daughter. I'm not your caregiver. And Eddie has to remind me of that sometimes. It's like, okay, let me finish this class and switch fields.
Yeah, it's a transitional period for you. It's not that you come out of it intoxicated in a different person.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
come out of it just shifted. You're, mm-hmm. It's your time to relax and move from one thing to the other.
Yes. Okay,
you really stumble onto some very naturally healthy processes that there's techniques out there that are taught and you're finding them all on your own.
Some, but you still get burned out.
Yeah.
And Eddie and I hadn't been away for, for a year and a half. Hadn't taken a vacation. My clients have had so much going on, and true to a lot of things I've read in your book, it's like, oh, I can't take it. Eddie would say, come on, we got to go away for a week. Yeah. You really need a week. No, because I don't have anybody to take care of this one, or I can't go. So finally we did this four-day weekend.
Right.
It was like, okay, I am starting to burn out. I am going to need at least 4 days. And my client was so upset with me. That will never make it.
Yeah.
I might as well just give my house. This is exactly what he said. I might as well just give my house to the daughters. If you're not going to be here, there's no sense in us keeping it. And I went, it's just 4 days.
What kind of pressure that is. I mean, I've many times lamented in my career that, I've done a lot of different things within this, but I've also worked traditionally as a leader in the healthcare setting and senior living mostly. And the 24/7 obligation of it is really a grind.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have that, but you do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, because I do get called sometimes.
Yeah.
Just recently, 1:00 in the morning, Val.
Yeah.
We need you to come over. It's like, okay, give me a minute to wake up.
Yeah. And you could say no, but you can't.
No.
I mean, it's a... I keep craving the ability to say no, and you have, you're self-employed, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you're doing this to yourself,
yes.
not through an agency. So you've got the, finger quotes, dream sequence. You work for yourself. You work when you want. You don't work when you don't.
Yeah, my boss is horrible.
Yeah, but you got a bad boss.
Yeah.
Your boss is a slave driver.
That's 24/7. What people will say. You're working today. I take off Christmas and Thanksgiving. Uh-huh. Today's a holiday.
How
you
dare
working.
You.
It's like, I am. My boss just, God,
yeah.
I'm going to turn her in.
Yeah.
She's awful.
There's laws against that.
There is laws against that.
FLSA, whistleblower.
Yep.
Yeah, you get some of the, you get to keep some of the fines that they, or penalties, but I don't think that would work for you.
No.
There's nobody out there that's going to come to your aid on that. You're teaching me a lot this morning.
Am I?
No, really. I mean, you know, I mean, not in a traditional academic sense, maybe, but in a perspective way. And I mean, that's what this podcast is all about, is changing people's perspective. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding that the biggest fan of the podcast is me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm learning so much when I talk to other people. I didn't even know you had had my book, much less read it. Mm-hmm. Or learned anything.
And I'm still reading it.
Yeah.
I've still got, look, he's got him over there.
Yeah.
It is, it's a great book. I was reading one, there was a sentence in there you wrote, you taking care of yourself, it's somebody needs to give you permission.
Yeah.
And I read that and just stopped and went, oh my gosh, that is so true.
Yeah. Wow, I stumbled onto something there.
That was really big for me. It's like, wow, I never even thought about that.
Yeah, there's a lot in that book that I'm very proud of, and I've slipped away from it. The book itself I'm not proud of, to be honest with you. I just feel like I rushed it, and I didn't lay it out well, and there's parts of it that just are confusing, but there's parts of it that I read it again, and I'm like, I wrote that?
Uh-huh, wow.
I mean, just so clairvoyant. Look at me. Yeah, I mean, you do. You feel like you need permission to take care mm-hmm. of yourself. And again, I learned that from others in listening to them and seeing how they behave and act. And I'm really, in the back of my mind, I've got two conversations going, the one that I'm having with you and the one that I'm having with myself in processing just the simple thing of you who have complete control over when you work and don't work, never being able to be off.
Yeah, my client was very upset with me for taking this weekend.
Yeah.
And at first I was very hurt by that.
I bet. Because
I thought, wow, I do all of these things and I'm always here. And and it took me a minute, and it's like, okay, Val, step in the shoes.
Yeah.
And I stepped in and I realized, it's like, okay, he's coming at that from fear.
Yeah.
Because I do so much. I mean, even the plumbers call me, or everybody calls me.
Yeah.
He tells them, you call Val and Val will set this up.
Yeah.
So because I do so much, it's like, I do understand.
Yeah.
4 days does seem like, and two of those days really I'm not there because I don't go there on weekends.
Right.
So I said, really, it's only 2 days.
Right.
Well, Val, I really think you should do this another time.
Yeah.
This is not a good time for me. And I'm going, at some point, I said, you know what? My clients are always a very big priority in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And for these 4 days, my husband is going to be my priority. I have to do mm-hmm. that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was mad.
Yeah.
I guess you're just going to do this.
Well, you're making me feel guilty that we're doing this right now.
No, because this is something that he wanted too. Sure. No, I am loving this.
Yeah.
Talking about caregiving I just love talking about
some
caregiving.
Yeah. Well, you got a caregiver electrician over there who really wanted you to do this. This mm-hmm. was.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I'm so proud of her.
Oh.
And I wasn't supposed to mention that she won Caregiver of the Year.
Will you stop?
The tri-state area.
In the tri-state. What year? This year?
No. Many years ago.
2011, 2012.
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah. I was one of many.
Yeah. Well,
the Alzheimer's.
Yeah. Well, that's a caregiver personality. Yes. I'm just doing my job. You know, mm-hmm. look down at the as they're digging a hole with their toe in the ground, and they, right. you know, taking praise is not an easy thing
it's
for
difficult.
A caregiver to do. Yeah. But I think that. Well, I hope that other people hearing the commonality of those thoughts will help them. I mean, mm-hmm. I think you're doing a great thing for other people, in sharing your intimate experiences and your emotional experiences with this. I mean, it's not just a job.
No, it's not at all.
And the my focus wasn't enough on folks like you. I mean, I see the folks in the big communities, the nursing homes, retirement communities, hospitals, what have you. I mean, I see them clearly, and I see the family caregivers clearly, And I don't know where you belong.
Because, I don't either.
Yeah, no, I mean,
that's,
I mean,
that's been my conundrum my whole life.
All right, I got it. This is where I can't let your humor shift from the focus on you, because I think you're more like the family caregiver. I mean, this is not you. You don't punch out. Nobody does. Mm-mm. Really. But,
exactly.
But they sort of do a little bit more, whereas you really don't punch out. You never punch out, meaning on a clock.
Yeah.
For those that might have, what's it? Everybody knew what I meant. Why am I explaining?
Of course, of course. It was so clear. Actually, I did do family. Eddie's mother, I was a caregiver for her. She was going to go into hospice, and I just could not allow it to happen.
Yeah.
And said, I'm going to take time off, and we will bring them in here.
Now, by in hospice, you mean physically into, mm-hmm. And you kept her home.
Yeah, she was at end stage.
Yeah.
It was blood cancer. And I can't even think of the name of it. But she was with us for 2 weeks, which was the biggest honor. And her and I were able to, we came to a much better place. We always got along well, but we had our differences. And it was a blessing to me to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a blessing to to the world. It's a tribute, I think, is the better word than a blessing for what I'm about to say. It's a tribute to, again, how you're living your life. I mean, the fact that you, one, would want to do that, and two, be able to do that from a physical and emotional standpoint is incredible. But to be able to commit to that as far as the rest of your life, I feel very selfish. I mean, I couldn't commit a week or two to anybody right now other than me. I really got to work on that.
Really?
I mean, no,
I do
that's
worry
I mean,
about
who can do that? Will you? I mean,
I do worry because we're intending to move to Delaware.
Uh-huh.
And I know God has led me, and it's like, we'll see what he's got planned. But people know me in Calver County.
Yeah.
Nobody knows me in Delaware. I do have one client that actually moved here, but...
Trust me. I can change that for you overnight.
What will I do?
Yeah.
I don't know what I will do.
I mean, I can't help you say goodbye on the Calver County end, but there's plenty of people I can help hello to in Delaware.
They actually don't like me to talk about moving to Delaware. I said, it's going to be several years from now. We've got a lot of work to do on our house, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, that it's like, okay, I guess we'll see where the next journey goes.
Yeah. That's,
it's scary.
Yeah. Well, I mean, from an emotional standpoint, from a, you know, career business standpoint, there's need everywhere. Your name will grow quickly, but I really am just pausing as you talk about these things, because it isn't like switching jobs. I mean, it's so deep. So one of the things, and I ask some of my questions, they take long to come out. This one is intentional, because I'm going to ask you about you might be a caregiver if statements, and if you want to try one, or if you've been thinking about them. You know, there's a lot of them in the book. You've been thinking about it.
So my biggest one would be, you might be a caregiver if you know all of your clients' medications and doctor's appointments and none of your own.
Yeah.
And I do. I know I can tell you dosages for every one of them, and I have to put mine on my cell phone because I do not know what medications I'm on.
Yeah. Yeah. Taking care of others is so much easier than take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's any others.
Any other you might be a caregiver of statements?
Oh, I probably have a million of them, and I can't even think of them.
Yeah. You might be a caregiver if your phone starts ringing in a podcast.
You might be. That's not my phone. No, my phone's in the car.
Oh, it's Eddie's.
Oh, see?
It's all right. There's no pressure here. No pressure here. Yeah, I mean, I think of a ton of them. I mean, you might be a caregiver if you taught the defender of caregivers a lot of things that he didn't know. I mean, the perspectives that you've shared here have been really moving for me to hear.
Oh, thank you.
And I really would like you to get through the Dementia Live with Mary
Beth. I would
Beth.
Love to do that.
Yeah, well, Mary Beth can arrange that for you, and Educate is doing, that's the name of the company, Educate.
I've been reading about it. It's like they put on the glasses and the thing to muffle the sound. And
yeah, it's an immersive learning experience, and you go in, and as I was saying with Pam, I was angry. I've done it a few times, and I've had a similar emotion each time where I got angry when they're giving you the instructions for what you're supposed to do while you're in the experience. Mm-hmm. And I'm angry that they need to give me better instructions. like if I get the right roadmap, I can beat this thing, you know? And
that's how men always think, okay, how can I combat this?
Yeah. Well, I fear to some degree it's a caregiver thing too, because I've come across a lot of caregivers that certain things are inevitable. I mean, people die, people decline, you know, illnesses don't get better in some, I mean, yeah, they do, but some don't. And, they almost are in denial that, like, if I do everything perfectly, things will magically change. Yeah, and
that is hard to get away from.
Yeah, and you know, it's an immersive experience to go through the Dementia Live, but I'm like, okay, I'm not going to step into that until I've been prepared to step into that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're already in it. You know, when I'm already in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when so many of us realize what's going on. We're already in it. You know, and whether that applies to the caregiver awareness. A lot of folks think they're taking care of a husband or a spouse or a parent, and they're just a sibling or a child.
Exactly, not a caregiver.
But they're a caregiver. And I think that with dementia, you're already in it before you know you're in it. And there is a time, I've had some folks on the podcast, James Hamilton is not the past president, but he's going to be a guest in the future. We're trying to figure out the time now. He has dementia, and he speaks on it, and Brian LeBlanc. I mean, these are people that have been on the podcast talking about their dementia experience. So there is a period where you know you have it, and you're already in it. But there's also a period where you're already in it and you don't know it. And, you know, you've given me a lot of awarenesses.
And I remember reading a book on a woman who had early onset, and I can't think of the name of the book.
Uh-huh.
And she started writing her book.
Yeah.
When she found out. And it was fascinating to listen to what she went through.
Yeah.
And the fear, which is another thing that reading things like that is easy for me to see how many fears.
Yeah.
There are, which is why they get so angry. It's like most of their anger is really just fear.
Yeah.
Well, fighting for themselves.
Yeah. I think in general, anger a lot of times is a cloaked fear. But you had said earlier that every now and then, you know, the people will be very lucid, even though they're very demented. I hope that's not an offensive word. I struggle sometimes. Like, I'll have people on the podcast, like, you can use those words, but I can't.
Yeah.
You know, they're in there every now and then, but some of these folks that I'm talking to that are actually speaking and talking about, you know, having dementia, people come up and say, you don't have dementia.
Seem fine.
Yeah, you seem fine. And then they have moments where they clearly have dementia. So it's like, when do they trade that place? I'm out of my league in talking.
Some of them are very good at showboating. I've watched them where they weren't able to eat, they weren't able to do anything, and the nurse would come in and they'd be sitting up and talking, and it's like, where'd this guy come from? Yeah. I don't understand why you called me, Val. This person seems fine.
Yeah.
It's interesting to watch. It's fascinating.
Well, hiding it is something that people do. You know, we're all hiding from each other in some way, shape, or form. I'm sure Vicky's in there cleaning the house like crazy because she's trying to hide that we actually live in that house before we go in there and have a little breakfast. Mm-hmm. But I want to get you to that. I promised that we'd have a little meal after this, so I'm going to make you some omelets.
Well, I hope we're going to talk some more.
Yeah, we're going to talk.
Oh, good, because I love this.
We're going to talk, but we're not going to do it on microphone, so we can really get the... So we did the... I haven't been doing the Val lately. I'm thinking about bringing that back in the podcast. I actually had somebody tell me about that, but I didn't print it out to be prepared to do that.
Oh, yeah, and I don't memorize it well.
No, I don't want you to memorize it, but I guess
it's very good, though. I like it.
Oh, well, thank you. It felt awkward to do, particularly over the phone, but I need to do better as a podcaster and make sure that I have it ready to go. Because I've actually had some people, as soon as we finished recording, say, why didn't we do the vow? So I'll work on that. I'll put that on the list. But we're going to wrap this up in a minute. Is there anything that you really would like to share that we haven't had a chance to talk about yet?
Probably a million things I'm going to think of the minute you turn this off.
Yeah, well, we can do this again later. Not today, but another time.
yeah, exactly.
Where I can drag you away from the people that
need
you.
But probably one of the biggest things, like, and I've gone through it, is just try to step into their world. When you see, I hear people get so angry with the parents or with the brother or sister, and it's like, wait a minute, let's see where they're coming from with this. Mm-hmm. Somebody who's declining grasps on controlling anything, even if the anything is what type of toilet paper you're going to buy them. I absolutely refuse to allow you to bring in, and you look at it, it's like, they're just crazy. This is just toilet paper, but it's the one thing they can control. And it's like, the more I watch people, the more control they lose in their lives, the more they grasp on whatever they can grasp on. And I wonder what I'm going to grasp on. I don't know if it's going to be, you are not going to get me that broccoli because I want that bundle over there and I refuse to leave this store until you get that bundle. Yeah. But when I see people who go nuts over, like you and I were talking about, where the sheet sits on the bed, I need the trim needs to be this far underneath the pillow. It's like, okay, he's now not able to drive, and he's now not able to see very well, and he's having a... So he wants that 2 inches below the pillow. I can understand that.
Yeah. That's amazing.
So it's just so difficult for them.
Yeah. I don't know if you realize this, and this is not a criticism, it's praise. You opened and closed the podcast with the same...
Did I really?
No, don't. That's not criticism. No, you're taking that the wrong way.
I repeat myself a lot.
That's excellent. I mean, that's an excellent lesson to remind yourself and remind the listeners. And, you know, we've been joking a little bit about it, but that guy over there, Eddie, you should see the way he watches you while you talk about this. He's pretty impressed with you.
He, I don't know. He does a lot of awesome things, but
yeah. Well, I've enjoyed this tremendously, and
I have too. This has been nice.
Yeah. I'm glad you got over your nerves and did this. You didn't seem nervous.
I didn't. Oh, good.
Yeah. You were really just really very inspirational and. I'm not coming up with the right word, educational as well. And people in the world see this in you, and that's why they approach you. And it's like this superpower that oozes from you. And I sensed it the minute you got out of the car. And I'm grateful that you came over this morning and that we did this. And all I can say is, Val, you might be a caregiver. Thank you.
Definitely.
For caring.
Thank you.
Well, there you go, folks, another episode of the podcast. And I got to tell you, I learned a heck of a lot from Val. I'm at a loss for words because she was kind of a tweener. You know, I get angry at people who want to too narrowly define the term caregiver, and I view it very broadly and equally. And yet I am guilty of having defined it in my own subconscious mind narrowly and unequally at the same time. Unequally? I don't know. Val shared perspectives with me that I didn't anticipate, and it was very valuable to me. And afterwards, we enjoyed... I don't know what a brunch really is, to be honest with you. I made her some omelets like I have done over the years with some of the folks that I've worked with. It's an opportunity for me to be able to serve them and us to be able to just, you know, share a genuine moment. And I got to know her even more. And I think the conversation we had after the podcast was even more of a learning opportunity for me than during the podcast. And she was so deferential to me as though she was learning from me. So it was a truly, you know, pro-per, professional and personal, or per-pro, because neither one of us was leading in the purview of who's got the better perspective. I think we were genuinely learning from each other, and it was a genuinely enjoyable day. And, I mean, here's a lady that was nervous to do this to begin with, yet demanded to do it in person. So at a great expense to her schedule and to her commitment to the people she's caring for. So you might be a caregiver if you commit yourself personally to something to make it more meaningful for yourself and for others. And I really enjoyed this episode, and I thank Val for being part of it. Thanks again for listening. Please leave us a 5-star review. It really does help people find the podcast. And I'm going to ask a favor different than what I normally ask. I ask you to share it and like it and all that other stuff, which I guess I kind of snuck that in on you. But in this case, I'd like to ask you to invite people you know that have a caregiver story to contact us so that we can get it told and get it shared. So there you go. And you might as well go ahead and tell other people that might benefit from hearing the stories too. Snuck that in. Okay, everyone, go out there, do what you do, be good, and honor yourself as you care for others, because you might be a caregiver. Thank you for caring. Bye-bye now.